I want to take you to two passages of scripture. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. Verse 11. And then I want to connect it to Isaiah 40. So you want to get your finger in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, and also Isaiah 40. I promise to put it all in context for you. I love it when the Lord comes and changes and shifts what I thought I was going to say. This is common to me. What you are about to hear is going to cause you not to take constant for granted. What you're about to hear is going to cause you to realize that God shares his character with you. What you are about to hear is going to cause you to never, ever forget that you are connected to God. And in that connection, in that relationship, is all the power and the strength that you will ever need, regardless of how you feel, what you're going through, what surrounds you, what you see. So my prayer this morning before we jump into the Word of God is that you realize how much God really loves you. His love is ferocious towards you. That nothing can stop it. Not even you. The Word of God in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, says this: the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. No bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. Isaiah 40. When you have it, just say amen. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, we want to find ourselves at the very end of the scripture. Verse 28 declares this: have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Prophet Isaiah goes on to say he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, we ask that you speak such a word to us today that it changes not some things but everything, and that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Father, touch every heart so it's open to receive this word. I know in every ear that they're able to hear it. Of course, Lord, we don't want anyone to leave this place the way they came. And so we ask that you come and visit us by your power and by your spirit. Move among us, heal, touch, deliver, set free. Let no one not have an encounter with you today. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And if you agree, shout amen. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Gold teeth is included because we live in Baltimore. Come on here and say, you don't have to be swift, baby. You don't have to be swift. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach to you from the subject, you do not have to be swift. I want to come to you from two places in Scripture. The first place is the book of Ecclesiastes, which is bears the moniker, the book of the preacher. I love this particular passage of Scripture because it speaks volumes to the Christian life and walk. And it is the book of the preacher, if you will, that's delivering a unique message. And that unique message is, if you will, delivered from a perception of an overriding pessimism. In other words, it expressed through the words that you find in the book of Ecclesiastes of these words that says under the sun or under heaven. And the writer is exploring life almost devoid of divine perspective. He's exploring what life would look like, if you will, if it just had a selfish and humanistic worldview. He's exploring this and he's generally leaving out God in his deliberation. And in leaving himself with human reason alone, and it's resulting in this superficial and shallow life. In other words, the writer expresses that he has everything that he ever dreamt of. He has everything that he ever needed. He's come to the place in his life that he wants for nothing. But he looks back over this experience and begins to realize that something is missing from the whole piece. He has dreamt his dream. He's had his privilege. And the writer, if you will, is the King Solomon who's writing this particular passage. And as he's writing it, he's reflecting over the course of his life because you have to remember Solomon became king when he was around 18, 19 years old. And in his rulership, he asked God for wisdom. He prayed and got down on his knees and said, Father, I need you to grant me wisdom to be able to lead this great number of people. And God told him, I would not only give you wisdom, but I would then also give you the resources to back you because you asked me for my wisdom. I'm here to tell you that you're not out of time, you're not out of opportunity, but you might be out of wisdom. And so you have to understand that Solomon begins to ask God for this wisdom because he realizes that the job at hand, the task at hand, the assignment at hand, he's going to need the help of the Lord. He understands that he does not want to live his life under the dictatorship of the ordinary. He wants to live his life under the divine direction of God. He wants to live his life, my God, operating in God's wisdom. He wants to live his life operating under God's providence. And he began his life in this way. He reigned for 40 years. He lived, if you will, in the culmination of what Israel calls, if you will, their golden age. In other words, they had peace for 40 years. They had prosperity for 40 years. They had privilege for 40 years. But at the end of Solomon's life, he's looking back over and he's trying to figure out, how can somebody so wise do something so stupid? He's trying to figure out, how did I have all this wisdom and all this access and all this power, and I've come to this place in my life where I'm looking at it with such pessimism and looking at it with such negativity? How did I get to this place in my life that I look back and realize that I'm talking about time and chance happening to everybody? How can I look at my life and begin to compare my life with everybody else's life and see my life devoid of the goodness and of the presence of God? How did I get to this place? How did I get to this place of losing the joy of my salvation? How did I get to this place of losing life's luster? How did I get to this place of being so negative and so down and so oppressed? How did I get to this place of being of this negative mindset? Can you just help a preacher out and touch your neighbor and say, how did you get here? How did you get here? How did I get to this place after God being so good to me that somehow I forgot the goodness of God? How did I forget his mercy? How did I forget his love? I'm preaching, you ain't helping me. How did I forget his peace? How did I forget his joy? How did I stop blessing the Lord at all times? How in the monotony of my life that I missed the miracle in the monotony? How in the world did I come to the place of trying to realize that God is not who he said he is when I know in the depth of my heart that God is not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent? Just touch your neighbor and say, how did you get here? How did you get to the place of quiet and still praise? How did you get to the place of not being excited to come to the house of the Lord? How did you get to the place of looking at your clock saying, oh, I guess I gotta get ready for church, and saying I get to go to church and bless the name of God because he's been so good to me, I can't wait to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord and to share in the gladness and the goodness of God? Y'all not helping nobody out in here. Look at your neighbor and say, how did you forget? How did you forget? When was the last time you were overwhelmed and overcome with the goodness of God so much so you had to just stop everything that you were doing, put down your pen, put down your phone, pull your car over on the side of the road, go to the bathroom stall, lift your hands and say, God, thank you. When was the last time? I wish I had somebody to talk to. When was the last time? It's probably been a while. And much like Solomon, he finds himself trying to figure out, if you will, this life that he's come to that is devoid of God's perspective. He then begins to deal with the motive as to why he's doing what he's doing. Because why we do something ultimately determines what we do. And so he's trying to figure out, why am I doing what I'm doing? I can guarantee you that you have rarely or seldomly thanked God for simply keeping you in orbit. You have no sense or sensation of motion. You're sitting still right now, but in reality, you are sitting on a planet that is spinning around its axis approximately 1,000 miles per hour. Look at your neighbor and say, you're moving fast, baby. You have no sense of that motion because you have taken for granted something that is miraculous that you experience every day of your life that you wake up, and don't even realize how awesome it is to even open your eyes and be able to stand on your feet and do whatever that you're going to do in that day. This is why I love the sentiment of the old saints, that when they would get up to testify, they would simply say, I like to thank the Lord for waking me up this morning. I wish I had a church to preach to. Look at your neighbor and say, when's the last time you thank God for simply opening your eyes? No, you're so focused on your problem and your circumstance that you don't even realize that you're still here. You don't even realize that you still got another shot, another day to get it right, another moment to fix it, another opportunity to try again. I wish I had somebody to talk to. Slap your name and say, you're still here, baby. Why are you looking around like your options are over? Why are you looking around like time has run out? If you're still breathing, you still got time. You still have the chance to ask God for wisdom, but you can't ask amiss. Look, if you're going to ask God for something, you got to believe that he's capable of doing it in the first place. Well, I'm going to take my time with this thing. Oh, I got good time. And so it's amazing to me that we walk around intentionally blind. It's not malicious. It's not like you're trying to put blinders on. It's unintentional. You're just not aware. You don't think about the earth spinning on its axis. You don't think about we're being hurled into space. You're not concerned with that. You try. You got a bill. Yeah. You got stuff you, I can't get up. You got stuff you dealing with. You in relationships and folk crazy and y'all trying to play me. You got kids and they done lost their ever loving mind. You got a boss you can't stand. You got a business you're trying to get off the ground. You got an idea and a concept you're trying to bring into reality. You got stuff going on. And as you got stuff going on, you just don't even see the stuff that God puts in front of you when you got stuff going on. And you're so distracted by the stuff. My God, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. You're so distracted by the stuff that you can't see. God is moving in the monotony of your life. You can't even see just right in the everyday on a grainy level. God is down in the weeds with you every step of the way. And he's ordering every step. And he's out in front of you making crooked places straight. Don't get ahead of yourself, Pastor. Making crooked places straight. And he's doing all that he's doing to orchestrate your life, because he's setting the pace, not you. I wish I had somebody in here. And as he sets the pace, he's using the metronome of glory. I wish I had somebody in here that keeps you in step with him. God always has you on beat, you know. You don't feel it and you don't see it, but he always has you on beat. And the way God keeps you on beat and keeps you in step is that he stays out in front of you as he begins to conduct the orchestra of your life. And even though you've lost your sense of feeling and sensation of you moving, and perhaps you might be suffering from an unintentional blindness, that you begin to take for granted the constants of God. In other words, God is constant. This is my first point I'm getting here. I skipped the intro for you because I didn't want to lose you in the intro, as I have a tendency to do, and I want to hurry up to get us where we need to be. Slap your name and say, God is constant. God is constant. That means he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I feel this thing is about to blow in here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. God is so constant that he's the ultimate constant. He's so good, my God, that you take constant for granted. In other words, you don't realize how good God is. In our minds, if you will, it's wired in such a way that when we are introduced to new stimuli, or when we're introduced to a new environment, we become intensely aware of it. But conversely, at the same time, over time, we begin to adapt to the sound, the sights and the sounds and the smells of the things that constantly surround us. And so you lose touch, y'all ain't said nothing, with what you have access to all the time. This is why your marriage might be stale. This is why the joy left your job. This is why you don't like coming to church as often as you used to. This is why you have yet to crack open your Bible this week, because of you constantly doing the same old thing over and over again. It has become routine to you. It's passe. It's just something that you do all the time. And as you do it all the time, you don't realize that God has been constant to you all the time. Oh, slap your neighbor and say, don't take constant for granted. Don't take. Oh, y'all wish I had some. You don't hear what I'm saying. God is so constant that he's so good that his goodness is so automatic and on time all the time that you take constant for granted. I'm preaching better, y'all shouting. In other words, he shows up every single time, at every moment, when you need him most and also when you need him least. He's still the same. Even when you choose to step aside from him and live a life devoid of his perspective, when you get back to him, he's still the same consistent, loving, unconditional, forgiving God that gives you grace and mercy. Oh, slap your neighbor and say, he's off the chain, baby. He's Alpha and Omega. As a matter of fact, the translation says he's Alpha Omega, meaning God comes full circle so quick there is no in between. You don't know when he's starting or when he's finishing, because he declares the end from the beginning. He's all in the monotony and in all the mess of your life, moving miraculously without you even being aware that he's doing it. And before you know it, you look up and you got a testimony that suggests that he made all things work together. Oh, I'm going to preach this thing whether you like it or not. For your good. Slap your name and say, my God is constant. Come on here. If God is constant, then that means that we must be the variable. Mm-hmm. If he's the constant of the universe, then that means everything outside of him must be the variable. Stay with me. He's so constant that in rabbinical writings, they have a moniker for God, a nickname for God that says he's the place. Slap your name and say, he is the place. He is the place. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here. He is the place. And in other words, if I gave you, this is partly, you know, first point introduction all round up in one. If I gave you an example of what I'm talking about, I will use Moses in the burning bush experience. And I often wonder, God, why would you have to burn a bush to get somebody's attention? Y'all ain't in here with me. Because in Moses' world and in his language and in his culture, being out in the middle of the desert and seeing a piece of brush on fire is not an uncommon thing. It's something that he would see every day. It was monotonous. Y'all ain't in here with me. It wasn't spectacular. It was, y'all, I wish I had somebody in here. It wasn't spectacular. It wasn't a bolt of lightning. It wasn't God coming on a pillar of a cloud riding two chariot horses. It wasn't nothing like that. It was something that happened and that was common and every day, because God uses the monotony of life and the common things of life to begin to show you who he really is. I wish I had somebody to talk to begin to show you who he really is. And I often wonder, I got to get out this thing. I often wonder, God, why in the world would you use a burning bush? Why in the world? Because God was trying to show up in an ordinary place. A bush on the backside of the desert showed up in an ordinary place and it became holy ground. In other words, when God shows up to an ordinary place, the place that he shows up to changes into the consistency of the nature of God. So wherever God chooses to show up, that place becomes the place. If your life is full of variables, problems, and issues and circumstances, then you allow God to show up in the middle of that circumstance, then that circumstance becomes the place. God can make your pain the place. Oh, God, I feel like preaching and y'all ain't let me preach. Okay. I got to teach some more. Okay. I'm getting there. God shows up, to use this as an example, to Moses in an ordinary place. And so our rabbinical brothers, our Jewish brothers and sisters gave him the moniker, the place, because he's omnipresent. Oh, God is here, there, everywhere. And the reason why God chose to show up on the far side of the desert is so that you can understand, I wish I had somebody in here, that there is no place that is devoid of God's presence. Your problem is, I wish I had somebody in here. Your problem is that like Moses and just like the children of Israel who struggled with this, which will lead us to Solomon, who struggled with this idea, is that they constantly waited to get to a promised land but didn't realize they already had the place way before they ever got to the promise. Oh my God, I wish I had somebody to talk to. They did not understand. They did not register in their mind the constants of God. And so what they tried to do was worship God and wait to worship God until they got to the promised land. No. You got to understand that the holy ground that Moses was standing on, my God, wasn't the promised land. But my God, it was right where, my God, Moses was standing. In other words, you might not be where you want to be, and you might not have the reality of what God promised show up in your life, but if you got God in the presence, in the moment, then you are already at the place. Stop waiting to worship God until you arrive. You got to learn how to worship him along the journey of your walk. I ain't gonna praise him when I get there. I'm gonna bless him right now. in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the problem, in the middle of my pain, I'm going to lift up my hands and say, God, thank you. Let me get off this. Let me get off this. Let me get off. Hallelujah. Don't wait to worship God till you get to the promised land. You got to worship him along the way. You got to say to yourself, where I'm at right now is holy ground. You don't hear what I'm saying. Where God has me in life right now is holy ground. Because if he shows up in it, then that's the place. Oh, I'm preaching better, Yosha. All throughout Israel's history, they really didn't get this idea and understanding, so they constantly waited to get somewhere before they worshiped God. They constantly boxed God in with their mindsets consistently. Solomon comes along and he gets the kingdom and he's experiencing 40 years of peace, 40 years of prosperity. Things are going well. He's building battleships. He's building the navy. There's no battle, so he decides to use what he's got, which is wheat. I'm about to say something prophetic, so you better get on it. He uses his ships to take what he has as crop, which is wheat, and he takes the wheat and he puts it on the boats and he sends it up the stream to the king of Tyre. The king of Tyre then sends back gold for his wheat. And this is why he writes in Ecclesiastes, cast your bread upon the waters, for in many days it will return to you, but it will not come back the way you sent it out. Can I prophetically declare to you, if you have the gumption and the faith to believe that what God has given you already, that you choose to send it out, it might come back in a way that you never possibly imagined. Just slap your name and say your bread about to come back gold. I wish I had somebody to talk to in here. I'm just trying to find a consensus in the room of you understanding what God is about to do consistently and constantly in your life. Just go and touch your name and say, I'm about to be blessed beyond my wildest dreams. You don't even know. I wish I had somebody in here to talk to. Oh, God, I wish I had a church to preach to this morning. Oh, just touch me again and say, you're about to be blessed beyond your wildest dreams. You don't even know. Oh, I prophetically declare it right now in the name of Jesus for every individual that's struggling, for every individual trying to find the ends, let alone to make them meet. Your life and trajectory is about to change. Y'all, just stay with me. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of here. I only got a few minutes to get it to you. I ain't got a few minutes. We almost there. We almost there. Slap your name and say, God is constant. God is constant. He's constant. God's consistency is a steadfast rock. His providence undergirds our perseverance. And that's the problem. We don't know how to persevere to get anywhere. And so we're constantly trying to jump over stuff and skip hurdles, and we love the shortcuts. God doesn't do shortcuts. He does smart cuts. Shout somebody in here. Yeah, no. He ain't going to let you skip no steps. He's not going to allow you to skip any steps, and so that's the difficulty. And so we don't like the mundane, we don't like the monotony, and we want God to do a new thing, and we want the season to change. It's 3 months in a season, y'all ain't saying that, but we want it to change. When winter comes, you say, I can't wait for summer. When summer comes, I can't wait for fall. Fall comes, I can't wait for spring. Want to change. You don't want the steps. You don't hear what I'm saying. You don't want the steps. You don't understand that his providence undergirds our perseverance, and so his providence can't undergird us if there's nothing that we're persevering for. Oh, I'm getting somewhere with this thing. And so the problem then is a problem of faith. It's a problem of faith, because Solomon comes to this place in his life that is devoid of the perspective of God, and he says these things. He says, the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. He's using this poetry, if you will, to convey an idea of pessimism. It's a negative view on a perspective of God that suggests that God is not moving in his life at this moment. 40 years into the thing, and he's looking back over all his success, and he is unfulfilled. And the reason he is unfulfilled is because his faith was operating toward things and concepts that were not the purpose of his faith. The purpose of your faith is not the car. The purpose of your faith is not the business. Y'all not here with me. The purpose of your faith is not getting money. Try and get that money. Y'all ain't said nothing. That ain't the purpose. Slap your name and say, you know you like getting shmoney. You know you like getting shmoney. You know you like getting shmoney. Get that paper, baby. That's not the purpose of your faith. Faith in the Bible is always determined by its object. In other words, what matters is not so much the faith itself, but what faith is in. This is why Jesus said, have faith in God. So God is supposed to be the object of my faith. So the obstacle is irrelevant as long as I understand the object. This is why I can speak to the mountain, because the mountain doesn't matter. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting up in here. Slap your neighbor and say, what mountain? What mountain? What problem are you talking about? I serve a God that is the creator of the universe. What are you talking about? And the God that I serve doesn't skip the steps. And so if he allows me to be in the middle of the problem, first and foremost, he knows what I'm built of and what I'm made of. Therefore, he will not place on me more than I can handle. Your problem is a compliment to your purpose. I feel like preaching up in here. If you got a problem, then that means you got a purpose. I feel a preach coming on up in here. Slap your name and say, my problem is a compliment to my purpose. That means if I'm going through something right now, God thinks a whole lot about who I am and what I can do. Slap your name and say, you're built for this, baby. Sit down. I feel God up in here. Sit down, let me preach this one. And I'm going to say we because I'm going to own it. We have messed the body of Christ up. We put faith in things. Believe God for your car. Believe God for your healing. Believe God for your house. Believe God for your... If my house don't come, if my car don't come, if my healing don't come, I'm still at the place. Because in his presence... Oh, God, I feel it's the fullness of joy. Oh, slap your name and say, I got his presence, baby. If I got his presence, I got his peace. If I got his presence, I got his power. If I got his presence, I got his protection. If I, God, I feel it. Oh, I feel it. Y'all, sit down. Let me preach. This thing is messing me up. Oh, God. Woo! This thing is messing me up. Slap your name and say, as long as I got God, baby, I got everything. Oh. Okay, come on. Watch this. What's your, Okay, come on. So I'm almost here. Here we go. So then, what we have to realize is that because God is constant and we're the variable, he then shares his character with us. It's good stuff. Because we always change. Slap your name and say, you know you brand new. You know you brand new. We're always changing. But God is constant. And so because he's constant and we're the variable, for us to stay in the same pace and in step with him, stay with me. He then shares his character with us. He gives us his nature. Be holy because I'm holy. You have gained the mind of Christ. He's sharing his character and his nature with us. Why? Because for some reason in the primal Christianity had it right, if I can use that as a term. When they first started the thing out, they had it right. The focus of their faith was God. The object of their faith was God. And then along the way, just much like Israel, along the centuries, this new modern church or new form of Christianity, if you will, or modern Christianity has then reversed the order and simply put God has domesticated God or tamed God to fit their life and to determine, okay, I can live with that. God is not an object that I choose to live with. He's an object that I cannot live without. I will not make it if I don't have him. And I don't want to meet the individual that I would be. Just look at your name and say, me without God is a scary thing, baby. You do not want to meet me. I wish I had some real folk to talk to. You did not want to know me when I did not know God, because I was trifling. So, what happens then, because God shares our character, his character with us, is that we don't realize the work that we have to do. And so this new modern form of Christianity, watch me now, wants to get results without working. And we do it so much that now we brainstorm instead of praystorm. A God idea will beat your idea any day of the week. I know you're smart and everything, but this dude got you on a planet that's spinning on his axis, being hurled out into space at 186,000 miles per hour, per second, per minute. You don't really say nothing. While you feel like you're standing still. All the meanwhile, while gravity is pushing down on you, y'all ain't said nothing. But somehow he's keeping you through it all and keeping your life in orbit and keeping the planet in order and keeping you not being compressed and pressed down. And I don't know if you're that smart. I don't know. We try to jump straight into the helpful bit of the Word of God at the end without seeing that we can only get there by properly following what God says. Stay with me. Solomon is wrestling with this, and he doesn't quite get it. And so he has to conclude his thoughts at the end of Ecclesiastes in Ecclesiastes 12 and say, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Do what he tell you to do. He finally said, you know what? I'm out of wisdom. I'm done with my brain ideas and my thoughts. Just do what God asks you to do. One of the most profound things he says. He then begins to write 3,000 Proverbs, the ones that are not all of them are recorded in Scripture. I think he wrote 3,000 Proverbs because he had 1,000 wives. That'll give you a lot of insight and a lot of wisdom. Lord Jesus, have trust in the Lord. Lean not on my own understanding. And all my ways and not you. 1,000 wives and 300 concubines. That's a dude. Bruh. Hats off to you, player. You can have that. Okay, anyway. Here we go. Watch this. The problem with not willing to do the work in our part, and I'm going to tell you what our part is in just a second. The problem with not willing to do the work is that we discover that we will gradually, if you will, have a picture of God that is domesticated, and we'll whittle him down to something that we can live with. He'll just become like everything else in your life. And that's the sad mistake that the body of Christ makes. Let me tell you something about this thing. Our faith is not something that stands by itself or props itself up with its own merit. At every point, it is based on the character and the nature of God, of what God is like. We couldn't do this thing if it wasn't for him. It's by grace that we are saved. Okay, I'm gonna, here we go. Then the problem then becomes is that it's often easier to do something new and exciting and fresh than to experience and keep doing the same old thing. The one foot in front of the other is frustrating. Can I just get to the end? Do I really have to take my time and walk this thing out? Can I run? Can I fly? Do I have to walk worthy of the calling? Can I run worthy of the calling? Can I buy an airplane ticket to skip some of the valleys and the peaks? Do I have to take the scenic view? Can I get a bike? How can I get there fast? Slap your neighbor and say, you don't have to be swift. How can I get there quickly? How can I get this money? How can I? I love that word, shmoney. How can I do this? There's a problem. The problem with God sharing his character with us is that he wants to connect. And connecting with God, watch me now, stay with me. He likes to walk. Slap your name and say, you ain't got to be swift, baby. Solomon is dealing with this issue, and he comes to the conclusion that fear God, do what he tells you to do. Isaiah picks it up centuries later in the same mindset because he's addressing the children of Israel. And in addressing the children of Israel, he begins to have to tell them in the beginning of the book, don't you know who God is? Slap your name and say, don't you know who God is? If you're going to connect with him, you got to know who he is. The Bible says he that comes to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Slap your name and say, don't you know who God is? Don't you? I wish I had somebody to talk to. You have to understand that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he's so big and so bad and so bold, and my God, that he's not safe, but he's sovereign. Stay with me. He's going to get you into some trouble. He's going to let you go through some stuff, and in his sovereignness, he's going to keep you through it all, making sure that your foot doesn't slip. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here. Making sure that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper, making sure that if he promised you something, you're going to get to the place where he promised you, because as long as you got him, you got the place. Y'all ain't in here with me. Slap your name and say, don't you know who God is? Don't you know who he is? He's the lover of your soul. He's the healer of your mind and your body. Don't you know who he is? He is your rewarder and your exceeding great shield. He's the one stepping out front of all of the fiery darts of the adversary. He's the one reorchestrating and moving and navigating all sorts of things in your life that's supposed to trip you up. He's the one that caused you to miss the mess. He's the one, I wish I had somebody in here. He's the miracle worker. He's the one that made the way out of no way. He's the unexplainable item in your life where you can't put your finger on it and trying to figure it out. It was all God. Oh, God, he's the one that helped you dodge the bullet. He's the one that made you miss the car accident. I wish I had somebody in here. He's the one that's keeping you. It's all God. Slap your name and say, it's all God. It's all God. It's all God. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Here we go. I got a few moments. I got a few moments. Here we go. Yeah. Right. So. Watch me now. So the problem, just like with Solomon, is faith. Solomon has faith in the wrong object. The children of Israel put faith in the obstacle more than they did the object. They were so concerned with the obstacle that they forgot the object that they were supposed to be believing. And so Isaiah had to come along and says, comfort ye my people. He had to come along and let them know, wait a second, don't you understand who God is? Don't you realize who you're serving? Don't you understand? Don't you get it? Don't you reconcile in your mind how long and how far God has gone to keep you and to love you and to make sure that the issues of life don't break you? Don't you realize I can't get no help in here? Don't you realize? No, you don't realize this, because faith, my God, is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is the opposite of sight. I wish I had somebody to talk to. In other words, faith is not some mysterious ability to navigate through life with a secret key that unlocks all the doors. Faith is the willingness to think and act on the basis of what you know about God, even if it's very little. That's why the Bible says, if you got faith as the grain of a mustard seed. I don't have to know much about God, but what I do know about him, my God, is that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. My God, slap your name and say, what I know so far, come on here, I can operate off of. What I've experienced with God so far, I can do some things with. What God has shown me so far, I ain't got no lie. And so God ultimately in sharing his character with us, wants to connect. And in that connection, my God, something happens. We realize we don't have to be swift. You begin to slow down a little bit. And when you slow down, stay with me. When you slow down, you start experiencing the excellence of what God determined for your life. Stay with me. Stay with me. Any profession that learns how to slow down, it could be sports, a doctor, a lawyer. Any profession that learns how to take his time, because they realize the outcome, because they know they put in the work. You don't hear what I'm saying. When you know you put in the work, you begin to understand the outcome. You know your expectation level goes to a whole nother level because you realize the work that you have put in. And so the work that we have to do as Christians is a work that we don't like. Slap your name and say, it's called wait. Oh, go on, touch somebody and say, I got some work to do. Give me 5 minutes, I'm gonna get you there. Yeah. The work that we gotta do is called wait. No. Oh, bless his name. Y'all not in here with me. You don't like that, because Isaiah comes along and he says, Yes, comfort my people. And I gotta speak to the Jerusalem. And I gotta tell you, he says, your warfare is ended. Let me prophesy to you. Your warfare is ended, and your iniquity is pardoned. God has already forgiven you. Why are you bracing your life for war when war is over? God, slap your name and say, no, war is over, baby. You just gotta learn how to wait. God, stop bracing yourself for something that happened a long time ago. God has dealt with that. I wish I had somebody in here with me. And he begins to say, as God shares his character and as he connects, I'm like a voice crying out in the wilderness trying to tell you, prepare the way of the Lord. Slap your name and say, waiting prepares the way of the Lord. Come on here. In other words, when I wait because I want God to make a way out of no way, I have to get out the way so that God can make a way out of no way. And it's in my waiting that I realize God is sharing his character with me so that the step-by-step process is working something in me while I'm waiting for the promise to show up. And patience is having its perfect work. I wish I had somebody in me so that when the promise comes, I'm not so bent on the promise, but I am complete without it. I'm dropping bombs and slap your name and say, can you be complete without the promise? If it never shows up, I'm still what God says. And that's the burden of the body of Christ, is that when it doesn't show up on our timetable, we step out of pace with God and we stop going step by step and we start trying to skip steps. Y'all ain't said nothing, but you got to remember, when you skip steps, you try to get ahead of God. And if you get ahead of God, how can he make the crooked place straight? If you get ahead of him, he says, I go out before you. And then my job is to make what was going to trip you up a straight route. According to my knowledge, the fastest way to any point is still a straight shot. Stay with me. Here we go. Last couple minutes. I know I said it before, but I'm serious this time. Here we go. Because we got to go. Watch this. I got good time. I got to 12:30. They ain't serving ice cream to 12:30. Leave me alone. I'm about to drop it in here. He prophesies, watch this, he prophesies, and he says, prepare the way the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And he says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall and hill be brought low, the crooked places made straight. Just go and touch your neighbor and say, God about to smooth some stuff out for you. Oh, God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. I wish I had, oh God, I felt that thing come out my spirit. Oh, go on, just touch your neighbor again, God about to smooth some stuff out for you. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah begins to pick it up and begins to say, listen, you got to understand that God's about to smooth some stuff out for you. And he goes into a whole bunch of history and a whole bunch of stuff. And then he says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Slap your name and say, I got a connection. Don't you know? Have you not known? Oh, I feel like preaching here. Have you not heard? That's why you ain't got to be swift. You don't have to be in a rush to get to where God said you're going to be. You don't have to be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm losing my anxiety right now. I wish I had somebody. I'm losing my nervousness right now. I'm right now. Stay with me. Watch this. What I'm about to show you about to blow your mind. Watch this. He says, look, I'm trying to give you a message of good tidings, and I'm trying to let you know that God is bringing something into your life, and I'm trying to get you to understand that your past is absolutely over. So stop living in it. Stop operating in it. Come on here. Because God is not past. His name is I am, not I was. I wish I had somebody here. God does not operate that way. He always operates in the present and forward. And so he has to get convince them to this understanding. So he says, have you not heard? Have you not known, my God, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is he weary. Just slap your name and say, God's not tired. There is no understanding, no way that you can search his understanding. And then he says something powerful and incredible. And here's where I want to take you as God connects. The Bible says he gives power. Oh God, I wish I had somebody. He gives power to the faint. Slap your name and say, if you're tired, get ready for some power. Get ready for a new level of energy, a new level of zeal. Am I preaching or prophesying to anybody in here? A new level of joy. Fuck up. A new level of dreaming that you never had before, and the energy to accomplish and fulfill it. My God, the fatigue of doing your work is about to be over. You about to get some stuff done. You about to get some stuff finished. I wish I had a church to preach to. We almost there. And so he says he gives power to the faith. Watch me now. He gives, oh God, I feel like preaching. He gives power, oh hallelujah, to the who? Faith. He gives power to the faith. And as he begins to say this, and begins to operate in this concept, he says, I give power to the faith. And the reason that God gives power to the faint, in other words, he says, Apostle Paul comes along and picks it up in Colossians 1. He says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. In other words, when he gives power to the faint, you learn how to wait on God with joy. You learn how to sit back, my God, with joy and say, I don't mind waiting on you, Lord. I wish I had somebody. And that waiting is not a standing still. That waiting is a worshiping and a serving God while he's going ahead of you and making the crooked places straight. That waiting is you praising the Lord and not becoming unintentionally blind with his consistency in your life and not taking for granted the constant. I wish I had somebody in here. That waiting is to wake up in the morning and say, God, you're going to work it out. I might not understand it right now, but I'll understand it better by and by. But I know the end result because I know you. And if you are good, then the end is good. Slap your neighbor and say, if God is good, then the end is good. I wish I had a church to preach to this morning. If God is good, then the end is good. Watch this. So stay with me. So here's what the Lord showed me. It messed me up. And he woke me up 4 o'clock this morning. Show me. Watch this. I was just going to reference this. I wasn't going to preach this part of it, but here we go. He says he gives power to the faint, right? And to those who have, you don't hear what I'm saying. First, I got to give you power. I got to share my character with you. I'm going to give power to the faint. And to those who have no might, he increases your strength. Can you just touch your neighbor? Just gently. Yeah, I wish I had. Just gently tap him and say, you couldn't handle it in the past, but God's got a new anointing for you to handle it in the future. God is about to strengthen your result. Strengthen your ability. Strengthen. God, slap your name and say, what used to break you is about to bless you. I wish I had somebody to talk to in here. What used to try to take you out of here, about to bless you. Last thing. Here we go. All right, I'm sorry. Here we go. I keep saying last thing knowing I'm lying. Here we go. He increases their strength. He says, I'm the powerful. Everybody gets tired, basically, is what he says. Everybody goes through this. And everybody goes through the monotony of life that you forget that God does miracles right in the monotony. Everybody experiences this mindset. Everybody feels like at times God's not moving. Everybody thinks that this is going to be the end result. Everybody sometimes succumbs to status quo, not knowing that status quo is your enemy. Everybody's experiences, even the youth, everybody, he says, everybody goes through this mindset. But he says something powerful. Here's the key. They that wait upon the Lord. I don't have to be swift, but I do have to wait. Slap your name and say, they that wait upon the Lord. You don't hear what I'm saying. In the previous, here we go. I got to teach it. In the previous verses, he says he gives power to the faint. And those that have no might, he increases strength. But then he comes along and says, yes, everybody goes through this. But if you learn how to wait, you don't hear what I'm saying. If you learn how to wait, you renew your own strength. You missed it. God shares his character. But when you learn how to wait, you start operating in his character. You don't hear what I'm saying. So you don't need a pep talk. You don't need no pep rally. You don't need no praise leader. You don't even need a preacher. I wish I had somebody in here. You because you learn how to wait, shall renew their strength. Oh, stay with me, stay with me, stay with me, stay with me, because I'm losing you in the spirit. Stay with me. They shall renew their strength. And here's the fun part. Then they mount up. Bishop, I never knew. I never knew that this was a progression of how to not be swift. What you're about to hear is a progression in scripture to show you why you don't have to be swift. When you renew your own strength, there are going to be times in your life where you got to mount up. Slap your neighbor and say, you're about to mount up, baby. You're about to mount up. That means when you mount up, my God, you're going to do it with eagle's wings. That means you're going to have so much momentum. Oh, God, I felt it right there. Slap your name and say, momentum coming. Oh, you ain't got to shout. Just give me 10 folk that get it. Momentum coming. I'm about to mount up, baby. That means God gives you the energy and the resources, come on, to jumpstart what he's about to do in your life. Slap your neighbor, high five, say, I'm about to mount up, about to mount up. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Watch me now. But at some point, I got to come down on the ground because God doesn't want me dreaming and not doing. Just touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to dream, but I'm also going to do. So when my feet hit the ground, I'm going to hit the ground. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm about to hit the ground running. My business is going to hit the ground running. I'm going back to school. I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going home to save my family. I'm going to hit the ground running. Oh, slap your name and say, I'm about to hit the ground running, baby. And when I start running, I won't get weary. I'm going to have the endurance to make it to God, to the end of the race. So first I mount up. Then I run. And then, once I finish running, I have to walk it out. You ain't gonna shout on this one, but I already got you. Had you on a cliffhanger. You mount up, and he'll give you the momentum of eagle's wings. You'll hit the ground and stop dreaming and start doing, and you'll learn how to run and not get weary. But in the running, it has to stop at some moment, and you'll have to become practical and step by step walk it out. It's in the walking with God that you get faint and tired. You can run with him because that's exciting, but walking with him is hard. Oh, you don't mind mounting up and soaring with him, but walking with him is hard. When he ain't moving, you're still walking. When nothing's happening, you're still walking. When they lie on you, you're still walking. When they cheat you, you're still walking. When they don't understand you, you're still walking. When they leave you, you're still walking. And you'll have the testimony of Enoch, who walked with God, that God was so pleased with him, he just took him up. When you walk with God, he'll just take you up. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, walk with God. He'll just take you up. He'll take you higher than you've ever known before. He'll take you to places you've never experienced before. Ah, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Slap your name and say, I'm walking, I'm walking. I wish I had 10 folk that would just walk it out. Walk out of the chaos. Walk out of the problem. Walk out of the situation. You don't have to be swift. Just walk out of it, baby. Oh, God, I got to get out of here. Walk out, walk out, walk out, walk out, walk out, walk out. Walk out of your pain. Walk out of your sickness. Walk out of your disease. Walk out of your debt. Walk out of your oppression. Walk out of your depression. Walk out, walk out, walk out. Who am I prophesying to? This is the last day of a messed up day. This is the last day of a broke day. This is the last day of a painful day. Walk out, walk out, walk out, walk out. Oh, God.
If you're sitting in your seat, just slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm walking out. And as I walk out, I'm walking into miracles. I'm walking into blessings. I'm walking into opportunities. I'm walking, my God, I feel the Lord in here. I'm walking out. I don't have to be swift. I can walk out. I don't have to be in a hurry. I can walk out. Oh, God, I can walk out. I'm just going to stroll out of this thing. I'm walking out. You don't have to be swift. You can walk out. You can walk out of a mindset. You can walk out of sin. You can walk out of addiction. You can walk out. You can walk out. You can walk out. You can walk out. You don't have to stay and experience it. If you learn how to wait on God, He'll renew your strength. So when it's time to go, you just pack your bag. Take one last look at where you used to be. Bye-bye. Walking up. Oh, God. You're walking out. You're walking out. You're walking out. I pray God renews your strength. The eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. That you would know with all the saints what is the length, breadth, width, and depth of the love of God towards your life. God loves you so much. And He says, if you just wait on me, not wait and sit still and do nothing, but if you just expectingly serve me. If you wait on me like a waiter would wait on you at a restaurant. If you would worship me. If you would seek me. You'll renew your strength. And I'll give you momentum. I'll give you energy to run. But most importantly, I'll give you power to walk. And when you walk, you'll tread upon scorpions and serpents. Oh, God, I feel appreciative. And you'll crush the enemy's head under your foot. With every step, and with every step you take, God will give you new ground. I pray you walk it out. Because you don't have to be swift. Lift those hands, receive the blessing of the Lord all over this church. May God bless you. May He keep you. May He be gracious unto you. May God give you peace. May He give you joy down deep in your soul. Deep in your soul. Oh, God, I love you. May He surround you with His favor as with His shield. May His angels encamp themselves round about you. May His precious blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Come on, hug two or three people. Say, I'm walking it out. God's giving you joy down deep in your soul.